listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you.
But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life, and I got mountains to climb.
Greetings. We bless you in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ on this morning, and we're just so grateful to be alive this morning and a part of this atmosphere that's going on and moving so fast. Oh, we just thank God for another opportunity to break the bread of life and to share his word and just to dive into what God is doing in this season right now. And it's just a blessing just to be a mouthpiece for the Lord, that he would be mindful of us. Who are we that God is even mindful of us to give us an opportunity to redeem ourselves, you know, to make good on what we've messed up? And Jesus has already redeemed us, bought us. He's paid the price for us and reconciled us back into the body, into the family of God. But it's just a blessing to be able to do kingdom work, to work for the kingdom. God died. Jesus died for us. And so we must live for him. So this is spreading his gospel and praying for folk and leading folk to Jesus. This is kingdom business. This is kingdom work. We must be about our Father's business, because time is winding up, and time is winding up. It's just that simple. We don't have the time that we think we have. So we have to be mindful to make every day count, every second, every minute count. And we can't be lax in what he's called us to do, what he's anointed and appointed us to do. We must be about our Father's business. And so we're just grateful to be here this morning. We're just so thankful that the Lord has allowed our golden moments to roll on a little while longer on this side of the chilly Jordan, that we still have another opportunity. You know, we can get it right. We can say, I love you to somebody. We can say, please forgive me. I was wrong. You know, I was hasty in my decisions. Please forgive me. And I was wrong. And I'm going to do better. And that's what Paul was telling the Corinthians here in this First Corinthians 13. He wasn't beating them up, condemning them. He was just telling them, look, y'all, we got to do better. Most gracious and eternal Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, Lord, we just thank you right now for another day. Father, we bless you and we magnify you for the strength that you've given us on this morning, for the life that is in our bodies, Father God, that we're able to breathe your air. Lord, we just thank you this morning for everyone that's under the sound of my voice, Lord. You know the needs, you know the wants, Lord God. You know everything that's going on in everybody's life, Lord. Father God, meet them where they are right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for those that are lost, Lord God, drawn by your spirit on this morning. Oh, Lord, we know that they can't come unless you draw them by your spirit. Draw them this morning, Lord. They toss to and fro by every wind and doctrine, Lord God. But let them know that it is you. They have to surrender to you. They have to receive you as their Lord and Savior. They have to lay it all at the altar this morning and say, I yield, I yield. I can't hold out any longer. It is you, Lord. I come to you right now, just as I am, weary, wounded, and sad. Father, we just thank you right now for pouring out your healing virtue right now on all those that are sick and afflicted, Lord God, because we know that you have more medicine in the hem of your garment than all the physicians in the land. Lord, we just thank you right now for your healing virtue right now, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask that you look down on the ones who come through this radio station, Lord, the owners, the technicians who make it happen, that this gospel go out over the airwaves, Lord God. Continue to anoint, continue to strengthen them, give them provision for the vision, Lord God. The men and women who come through preaching, teaching, singing, Lord God, we just ask that you continue to anoint them, Father God. Father God, strengthen them where they're weak. Prop them up where they're leaning, Lord Jesus. Continue to give them the provision for the vision that you've given them, Father God, that you put on their heart, Lord God. Encourage their hearts, Lord Jesus. We thank you for them right now. Bless them and keep them, Father God. We ask that you just look down on this earth, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for our sins, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, our greatest need is to have a more closer, more intimate, more personal relationship with you, Lord. Oh, Father God, that we're able to commune with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us right now. We take authority over these airwaves right now for the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord, we cancel the assignment of the enemy that would come and try to steal the word before it's able to fall on the fertile, cultivated soil of the hearts of your people, Lord, and germinate and come to life and bear much fruit. Father, we give you all the praise, we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory. Have your way right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And this morning, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 13 in the King James Version. And it reads as thus, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Amen, amen. And Paul is telling them, the church at Corinth, the Corinthians, he's saying, look, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And, excuse me, and Paul, the Apostle Paul is illustrating his point, likening it to the maturation of a person from infancy to manhood. A child speaks and reason assimilates knowledge on the level on which their maturity. When you're a child, you speak as a child. You're not yet developed. And that's how it is with babes in Christ. You're a child in Christ when you first receive him as your Lord and Savior. But as you study the word and you pray and fellowship with him and build a relationship with the Lord and doing kingdom work, as we were talking about earlier, you're going out telling folk about Jesus and praying for folk and laying hands on them and casting out demons and doing kingdom work. You know, and spending time with the Lord in his word and just asking the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and bring to your understanding everything that God has said in his word. That's how we come to maturity. We are maturing as we grow. We're growing as a child grows. And as children eat physical food to grow, they're nourished and they start to grow. We as born-again believers eat spiritual food, and this spiritual food is the word of God, and it grows us, and we come into maturation. We're not perfect, but we're striving to be perfect. And when I say perfect, I mean to be like Jesus, because that's the ultimate goal, is to be like Jesus. And we won't never know it all, but we're growing. And we won't never know the whole Bible. We won't never understand it all. But daily, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, we're growing. We're growing in Christ. We're growing in maturation, in spiritual maturity. But when I became a man, and Paul is saying when I matured, when I matured, when I came into maturation, my spiritual maturation, spiritual maturity, I put away childish things. And as we are maturing, we put away childish things. A child's speech is undeveloped. His understanding is crude, and knowledge is incomplete. At the time, his intentions is focused on developing his skills. He's growing. He's growing. He's sucking up everything up like a sponge. He's learning from his environment, what he hears, what he sees. And this is what a child, so that's why we are to train them up. So we are to give them that environment so they can grow and they can mature in the things of God, in the admonition of the Lord. So therefore, just like physical children, spiritual children are the same way. We who are seasoned must give an atmosphere, and we must teach, and we must live a life that is godly, that is like Christ. We must be an example. We are ambassadors representing the kingdom of God. So this is what they are to see. This is what they are to hear. They are to hear and see Jesus in us. So therefore, they will become like Jesus, because the more is caught than is taught. They're gonna be what they see and what they hear. I don't care how we shape it. That's just the truth of it. That's the raw and real truth of the matter. And so as spiritual babes see the mature saints, they're gonna do what they see us do. So if we're hypocrites, and we're not living according to the word, and we're not living a life that is Christ-like, that is the example that Christ has set before us when he was on this earth. If we're not living that type of life, then it's not going to be right. They're not going to be right. They're not going to grow up right. They're not going to mature spiritually like they should. That there's going to be a problem. And so they're going to beget what they beget. So it's like a domino effect. If we're not leading by example, that they're not going to be right. They're not going to be Christ-like. They're not going to be mature. They're not going to come into a spiritual maturation, spiritual maturity, and live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, because they've not seen it modeled, and so they've not adapted that. They've not, because we are to be conformed to his image. That we're not be conformed to the world's image, but to the image of Christ. We're not to pick up the ways of the world, but we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're to be like Jesus. And that's what this being studying this word and meditating on this word and eating the scroll, that this is our spiritual food. We put away childish things. We don't think like we used to, and we don't act like we used to. And we are mature, and we emanate the love of Christ, and the maturity of Christ, and the godliness. And this is what we're displaying. They should see Christ when they look at us. The greatest sermon that we can ever preach, the greatest witness that we can ever be, is the life that we live, because they're watching us. And spiritual babes and natural babes are watching us, and we are their example. So we must lead by example. And we have to put away childish things. We have to be mature, and we have to not take on the immaturity of this world and the worldly things. We have to take on kingdom work and kingdom assignment, and we have to walk in the kingdom positions that we've been called to, in that authority. And so we can put the enemy under our feet, and we can call those things that be not as though they were, and we'll have what we say if we're walking in the counsel of the godly, if we're walking in this word. For now we see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, we see through a glass darkly, that we don't know it all. We have not arrived. This is what Paul is saying to him. We prophesy in part. We preach in part. We minister in part. We pray in part. We don't know it all. But as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, we're striving to be like Christ. We're not mature, reach spiritual maturation yet, but we're striving to get there. Because as long as we're here on this earth, in this earth suit, we're going to be learning. We're going to be growing in this word. We're going to be growing in Christ. We'll be growing in the kingdom of God. We're constantly growing. We're constantly learning. We're constantly teaching and being taught. It's constant. We will never know it all. But when we come face to face, we'll know better. It'll be clearer to us. And we will be perfected because we will get our glorified bodies. Our spirit is already saved. Our soul is being saved. And our bodies shall be saved. We will get glorified bodies like Christ has that are fitted for heaven, formed for heaven. And so when we see him face to face, we will have arrived. We will reach spiritual maturity. And we will know all the questions that we have. We will have the answer to all the questions. We will be spiritually mature. We will know. We will have arrived. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We know in part. We don't know. We don't know it all. We do the best we can with this word as the Holy Spirit give us leading and guide us. The Holy Spirit breaks this word down to us and give us an understanding of what we stand under, the understanding of the word of God. It is only through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breaks it down to us and gives us the knowledge and the revelation of what God is saying according to the time when it was written. From Genesis to Revelation is all about Jesus, but it's written to us as an example. So we will know how to conduct our Father's business on the earth as leading all the souls we can to him and telling everyone about the goodness of the Lord and his saving grace and his sustaining power, how he sustains us, how he keeps us, how he saved us, how he's keeping us right now as we're speaking. So this is what it's all about. It's all about the word. We don't know, but as we're being trained, we're being trained and we're training. We're discipling and we're being discipled. So we're steady learning. And those that don't know are being trained by the way we live and by our actions and how we do things. So we will know when we see him face to face. We will know even as we are known. He knows us. He knows what he's called us to do. And he knows us while we're still out there sinning. He knows that the assignment that he has for us and the plan and the purpose that he has for us, not to harm us, but he has a perfect ending for us. He has a promise to bless us and to keep us and to give us an expected end. There's a plan for our lives, even though we don't realize it and we're still living in the world. That there's a plan for our life because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinning, Christ laid down his life for us. So he died for everybody. He don't love the sin, but he loves the sinner. He loves everybody. That's why he paid the price. Jesus paid the price. So whosoever will. So no matter where you are and what you're doing, there's hope. There's hope for you. Turn to Jesus today. Turn to Jesus today. Give him your life. Lay it all at the altar. Lay it down. Surrender all to him. Surrender all to him. And we can't figure it out on our own. We were never designed to carry these burdens. Huh? The weight of the world. We were never designed to. But the government is on his shoulder. It's on his shoulder. It's on Jesus' shoulder. He already paid the price, the penalty for us. That's why we're able to breathe his air right now, because he already paid the penalty, the price for us, redeemed us back. He paid the sin debt and bonded us out of a, a ticket straight to hell. He bonded us out. He paid the price. So there's no going on parole. There's no going back. When we receive him, we are saved. We are saved. And we're going to spend eternity with him. So when we see him face to face, everything will be made like it should be. Everything will be made perfect. We'll know fully then, as we are already known, as he already knows us, we will know him. When we see him face to face, we will know everything. We will be made perfect in him. We will be like him when we see him face to face. Oh my God, what a time, what a time. Can you imagine when we get a chance to see Jesus face to face, the one who shed his blood for us, the one who died for us, the one who gave us another opportunity to be in right standing with the Father? Huh? Then we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Our best was filthy rags. But because of what he has done, we are in right standing when we are in Christ. But you must be born again. There's no other way around it. You must be born again. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And we talked about that last week. And that charity is love. And not just any kind of love. Because we use the word love, we throw it around kind of loosely, you know. And it don't have the weight that it should have. But that love is a God kind of love. That's a God love. That's who God is. That's an agape love. That charity in the Greek is agape. It's an agape. It's unconditional. I love you in spite of. And you don't have to do anything. I love you in spite of. I'm not looking for nothing in return. I love you first. And he loved us first when we didn't even love ourselves. God loved us enough to send his only begotten son. That's enough all by itself to shout about. Just think about that. We were sinning, doing everything we big enough to do. A lot of us still are. Christ died for us before the foundation because God knew we were going to mess it up. Way before Adam even messed up in the garden, he already knew we were going to mess it up. So the spotless lamb was already slain before the foundation. Because he knew, he already had a way for us out. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Already made preparations for us when we mess up. Already paid the price. Jesus already covered it with the blood. With the blood on Golgotha Hill. It was already, and we talked about that. Faith. Hope. Charity. But the greatest of these is love. Because faith, hope, all that's going to fade away at some point. But love is still going to be there. And love is what kept Jesus on that cross. Love. Arms stretched wide. Arms stretched wide. The greatest. Huh? It's the clearest expression that was seen on Golgotha Hill when his arms were stretched wide. Whosoever will, let him come. I'm dying for everybody. And if you miss it and go to hell, that's on you. Because you have the opportunity to come to Jesus. You have the opportunity to live for him because he died for you. You have that choice today. So no matter where you at, what the situation is, what you're going through, it makes no difference. Jesus has already paid the price. He's covered it all with all those stripes on his back, those 39. Every division of disease was covered right there. The blood covered every sin, huh? Every sin, every hardship, everything that you will go through, everything the enemy will bring to you, Jesus has already paid the price for it. It's already paid. With that blood covers everything. Nothing can cross the blood. Nothing. Nothing can cross the blood. And anything we do outside of love profit us nothing. We talked about that last week. Nothing. It don't make no difference what you do. And you say you do it in the name of Jesus. If you don't do it in love, if you don't do it in love, it profits you nothing. And we throw that word around real loose like, but that word has got some weight to it. When we love like God love. And just think about that. Are you loving your neighbor like you love yourself? That's how we are to love. We're to love our neighbor. And our neighbor's not just the one in our zip code, in our area code, in next door to us with the same close house numbers. No, that's not just your neighbors. Anyone out there you come in contact with, that's your neighbor. Are you loving them like you love yourself? And first of all, do you love God? You got to love him with your heart, mind, and soul. First, that's the first commandment. You got to love him because guess what? He first loved you. He sacrificed everything for you, laid it all down, and picked it back up, and is still making intercession right now at the right hand of the Father. Still make it. And not only that, if you are born again, if you are part of the body of Christ, if you love Jesus and you've given your life to him, you've received him as your Lord and Savior, you are seated with him. You are seated with him in heavenly place. So you've already arrived in the spirit realm. See, that's what I'm saying. We already connected. We already connected vertically. If you are born again, you already connected. So we have to make this connection horizontally with our neighbors, with our brothers and our sisters. That's the cross right there. That's the cross. So we got to love. We're commanded to love. We're commanded to love. Ain't no way around it. Anything we do outside of love, we're wasting our time. You might as well not even do it. So love on somebody today. Love on somebody. Show somebody some love. Tell them you love them. And mean it from your heart. And do something unselfish. Do something unselfish for somebody else. Not for no return on nothing. Just do something for somebody. Do something for somebody. And until next time, just remember, if you don't do it in love, it ain't going to profit you nothing. We're praying for you. We love you. Keep the faith. Until next time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust him at all
times. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed are you, Adonai. This is Cynthia West with For Such a Time as This. Shalom, shalom. Reverential fear of the Lord is paramount for such a time as this. Job chapter 28, verse 28 says, "But to man, he said, behold the reverential and worshipful fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding."